you know, one extreme, parents neglect or even abandon their children, show them no attention, and we haven't seen or read or heard a lot about the other extreme, where we overinvest, overindulge, give our children privilege more than responsibility.
Wow, that's what we're going to talk about today. Do you find yourself as a parent? Come on now, parents. I'm a parent. I understand this dynamic. But sometimes we get our jollies out of life by watching our kids be successful. Not only get our jollies, but we get our identity from watching our kids be successful, the sports they're in and the accomplishments. And all of a sudden, they become more like a trophy than a nurturing opportunity to raise the next generation. Let's talk about that today.
From the Intentional Living Center in beautiful Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, a husband, father, and grandfather, conference speaker and coach, and your advocate for the family. Joining Dr. Randy today is Pastor Ted Cunningham, who confesses that he was a vanity parent. So what kind of parent are you? Tell us your story. Call now. It's toll-free at 1-888-888-1717. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717. Randy?
All right. Thank you, Kurt. I think this will be an interesting program. We're talking about being intentional as a parent. And let's face it, sometimes we can overdo it, and we invest into our children in a way that we're getting something out of it. In other words, we're living vicariously through their life, success or failure, too much so. So let's put a new way of thinking into our process today. As we get intentional around raising a responsible adult, being intentional as a parent, without really raising a vanity kind of relationship or a trophy child. That's our focus. We're going to get to Ted in just a moment.
This is Lori Allen. It was a simpler time. There were no Amber Alerts, no faces on milk cartons. We didn't even wear seatbelts. I could spend hours outdoors up in a tree or riding my bike. It wasn't that Mom didn't worry about me. She was letting me have fun. Maybe I would be fitter or more successful if every minute had been structured in a team sport or in pursuit of academic acceleration. But the trade-off of knowing how to enjoy free time is dear. A few years later, Mom drove my friends and me to speech tournaments and sat in on the competitions. Our family was at church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. There was hovering, but we didn't call them helicopter parents back then. We just called it love. Sometimes I felt they were too overprotective, but I know now to be thankful for two parents who cared. I may not be a trophy child, but I am happy to be the daughter of Daryl and Epsy. One of their best achievements as parents was teaching me that being a child of the King was the most important part of my life. It may have been a simpler time, but in that respect, parenting hasn't changed. I'm Lori Allen with Intentional Living.
Thanks, Lori. Appreciate your good input. We're going to go to Missouri right now. We got Ted on the line, and he calls himself at one point the vanity parent. I'd like to know what that's all about. As we're talking today about being intentional in our families. Hi, Ted. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me. Great to be with you.
Tell me, what is a vanity parent?
Yeah, I define vanity parent as using my child's attributes and accomplishments to try to impress other people.
Hmm. Well, by the way, what do you do for a living?
I'm a pastor here in Branson, Missouri.
Well, you know, that can be a problem for those of us in ministry, because we can get so caught up in what people think of us as opposed to the message we're carrying. That can cloud even our ministry, can it?
Yeah, and to, you know, one extreme, parents neglect or even abandon their children, show them no attention, and we haven't seen or read or heard a lot about the other extreme, where we overinvest, overindulge,
yeah,
give our children privilege more than responsibility. And so that's really why I was passionate about.
How are you doing that? Give us an example of how that would look in your family as you were doing this.
Yeah, I mean, we grew up. I grew up with boomer parents who placed within me responsibility more than privilege. Now we've kind of flipped that, and the home is being driven by privilege rather than responsibility, and we withhold responsibility from our kids. And one of the issues I'm seeing as a pastor even is this idea of prolonged adolescence.
Yeah, well,
which is,
yeah,
too much privilege, not enough responsibility.
Well, and as you probably know, Ted, that you know, we go back 100 years, there wasn't even the word adolescent. It is a 20th century invention. I mean, by the time kids were 14, they were working on the farm, they were participating, everybody had responsibility. And I've observed that in my work with people over the years. So you're a young man. You had boomer parents, but you see that maybe your generation is not doing the best job in parenting.
Yeah, and it's an interesting phenomenon because we, 0 to 10 years old, we accelerate the childhood milestone. We're pushing and pushing and pushing our kids. So you see commercials like, "My baby can read." Reading in school is no longer enough. We have to have accelerated reading. We have to start their professional sports career by age 5, 6, or 7 and lock them into a sport through high school and college. But then something happens at 10, 11, 12 years old. We see our kids start to do what we pushed them to do for 10 years, and that is take off. And I believe by the design of Almighty God, they're individualizing and they're separating and they're becoming little adults. And that's when we move from accelerating childhood milestones to delaying adulthood milestones.
Now, how old are your kids now?
They're 7 and 9 years old.
All right. So you're catching this on the front end, and you see it in yourself. Did you have like an aha moment, or what was it that caused you to say, hey, I'm a vanity parent and I'm pushing them too hard?
Everything from my updates on Facebook to the way I discipline my children at the dollar bins at Target.
Yeah.
All of it's driven by this idea that what are those around me now thinking about me and my kids? And we've fallen for that input-output theory of parenting. It's a faulty theory that teaches whatever I put into my kids is what I'm going to get out of my kids. And so if I have successful, good-looking, smart, driven, athletic children, then people will think that about me.
Yeah.
And those are the motives my wife and I are trying to keep in check all the time in our home.
It's sort of like Lake Wobegon, you know, where the men are always stronger and the women are always more attractive than anywhere else in the country or something. And the kids are all above average. You know, we have that kind of a Lake Wobegon approach to parenting. I agree with you. Hold on for a minute, Ted. I'd like to hear your pastor, and I know you've studied this and actually wrote a book on this topic, Trophy Kids, Saving Parents from Performance, Preparing Children for Something Greater than Themselves. Kind of reminds me of the book that Rick Warren wrote on purpose-driven life, that it's not about you. And I think when we can teach kids that it's not all about you, and I'll tell you, the one that gets it often is the firstborn, because it is all about them many times. And then when the babies come along, like I was, the youngest in the family, it's not about you at all. So it can impact different stages in life as well. We'll talk to Pastor Ted more on this in just a moment. You know, when we talk about intentional living, we got a whole series on what it means to parent your children intentionally, how to parent up and power down, how to be an intentional parent. And of course, we teach these things that you're just hearing Ted allude to, the fact that our children need to learn responsibility. We teach how to hold them accountable using logical and natural consequences, teaching them responsibility, and teaching them that life's not fair. It's not always fair. You can have 3 children in your family, and they're different size, different skills, different intelligence, different abilities. Life's not fair. And if we try to treat every child as in the fairness approach, it's kind of like a piece of pie. There's only so many pieces that can get out of a pie, you know, and then pretty soon it might get a big enough one, as opposed to seeing that that's a scarcity mentality. See that God has something unique for each of our children. We'll hear more from Ted in a moment.
Hello, this is Amy Phillips with news about the delicate balance called parenting. There are different parenting styles, and each one has a reason for why they do what they do. One thing's for sure, finding what works for your family may not be what's right for another. The U.S. Department of Justice reports nearly 800,000 children are reported missing every year. That means over 2,000 each day. It's statistics like that that remind television news producer Stephanie why she's a self-proclaimed overprotective parent.
I have a 10-year-old and 2 6-year-olds, and so I feel like I need to know absolutely everything they're doing at all times, you know, who they're with. I prefer to have their friends come here. I won't really let them go to anybody else's house. And I just feel like that's the right thing to do, because it's proven to me over and over again that bad things happen to good people. And, you know, I want to make sure that my kids don't end up a statistic.
Well, how do you pray for them?
I'm always praying for safety and for good choices. Obviously, I know I can't protect them all the time. 24/7, 365 is too much to ask of any human being. So I definitely pray for protection for my kids and that they'll do the right thing. That when, you know, push comes to shove, I've given them the information they need so that they can make a good choice.
Whether you're an overprotective parent or not, being intentional with prayer and preparation is a good recipe for a properly protective parent. For Intentional Living, I'm Amy Phillips.
Thanks, news team. Our Intentional Living news team brings good things to us on Intentional Living. Talking with Pastor Ted Cunningham. He's from Branson, Missouri, pastor with a couple of little kids and learning early as a dad. It's not all about pushing our kids to success, but leadership, really leading our children. And there's a difference between pushing them and leading them. And tell me, Ted, you're still a young dad. What are you learning? How are you parenting differently now than maybe you were just even a few years ago?
Yeah, one of the styles I talk about in the book is return on investment parenting. I'm trying not to view my kids as an investment, which is easy for us to do when we sign them up for dance at 3 or 4 or sign them up for taekwondo at 5 and 6. We got this mentality that we lock in, we make them commit, you know, now through senior year of high school, and we're redefining commitment in our home and what it means to commit to an activity, to commit to an organization. We want our kids to learn commitment, but we also want them to learn discovery, that there's a lot of other things that they can do. And I'm wanting our kids to see, as you talked about in the earlier segment, that they're uniquely created. There's something God has called them to do, and I don't need to lock them in to an activity or an organization or a hobby for 10 or 15 years. We define commitment season by season. We define it year by year. We want them to learn the value of commitment, but we also don't want our children living out an activity, sport, or hobby that is a passion of ours. We really want them to know that there's something uniquely they're uniquely created to do something great, and we want to help them discover what that is.
You know, Ted, when we were raising our kids who are now adults and bringing us beautiful grandchildren, did two things. One was we'd limit their activities, try to limit to one thing per semester, per year. And again, if they start, then we expect they'll finish. But the more experiences they get to find the things they're good at, the things they're not so good at, the things they enjoy and not enjoy, and never pressuring our kids. I mean, if they didn't really enjoy playing the piano, that became pretty obvious. We just wanted them to experience it and have opportunity to see if that was going to click, maybe now, maybe later in life. Maybe it was sports. Maybe it was, you know, something in school, whatever it was, to experience. The other thing that we did, Ted, I did with our kids, we had three children, you know, you kind of get a sense of how your kids are wired. You can see kids that are driven by, you know, they're kids who are thinkers, and you got kids who are feelers and people who connect with people. And every night when we'd put the kids to bed, I would regularly throughout the year hold their little faces in my hands, and I would say to them, son or daughter, whichever one I was talking to at the point, you know, I don't know what God's got for you in the future, but I'll tell you what I see in your life that God has just, you know, I just see this in your life. And I don't know whatever it is that God's going to have you be or become or do in the future, but I'll tell you what, it's going to involve people or leadership. It's going to involve making a difference in the world, letting them, speaking into their lives, a picture of the future. So many of us as parents speak a negative picture into our kids' lives. We tell them what they've been unsuccessful at and what they've got to do to get better. And we focus on weaknesses instead of focusing on strengths. And if you want to be an intentional parent, I think your message, Ted, is, you know, setting the environment where your kids can succeed, feel loved and nurtured, and become what God has for them to become, as opposed to what we as parents think they should become.
Yeah, and I even came out of a parent-teacher conference a couple weeks back where, you know, the two grading metrics were you've either mastered it or you're progressing. Mm-hmm. And we got out in the car, and I told my kids, hey, I just want you to know that there's no pressure on you from me or from your mom that says you need to master everything in life.
Yeah, that's right.
I said, you know, when I started doing poorly in math in high school, I quickly realized I was not going to be an engineer. You know, and so part of parenting is helping your child discover that. I tell my kids all the time, if I would have had more skill, balance, strength, coordination, I would have made a fantastic athlete, but I didn't have any of that. So I pursued photography. So I'm wanting my kids to get that idea. we're not keeping up with the Joneses in any way, shape, or form around this house. Yeah. So no comparisons necessary. You're uniquely created, and we're going to discover what God has planned for you.
That's the message. It's very intentional for sure. Hey, Ted, thank you for what you're doing, and I hope that message is coming through to your parishioners as well, that we're all different, wired differently. God has something in store for each of us that's uniquely different. Our goal is to find it. When we do, boy, there's a passion that really starts to click in our life.
Absolutely.
God bless you. And again, Ted Cunningham is a pastor from Branson, Missouri, and he's written a book called Trophy Child, Saving Parents from Performance, Preparing Children for Something Greater than Themselves. If you'd like to know more about that, you can check it out at our website on our highlights page there when you go to theintentionallife.com. Thanks, Ted.
Thank
you,
Brad.
Stay intentional, my friend, okay?
I will.
Yes, hello. I am a single mother with two sons, and I gave my heart to the Lord 11 years ago. And during these 11 years, I have intentionally purposed to train my two sons in the Word of the Lord and to bring them to church and their church youth group. We have gone through tragedies where we had to flee the home and live in a crisis shelter. Through it all, I have intentionally purposed to seek God's face for healing, asking Him to help and guide us to be my husband with skin on and a father to my two sons with skin on. So God bless you for your show. I intentionally press on with God's grace every day.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. I was looking at our Facebook page and I ran across a great question. Does God need our money? What do you think? Judith had a great answer. She said, God could do things with or without my money, but tithing is for me. It's all about gratitude, generosity, and grace. That's awesome. Thanks for that comment, Judith. Join our Facebook family today at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. And click on the Facebook icon. Don't go away. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
The Intentional Living Washington, D.C. tour is a vacation and a faith-building experience all in one. You and your family will come face-to-face with God's Word through the all-new Bible Museum.
Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson.
And I'm Peter Brooks.
We're looking forward to exploring America's spiritual heritage and hear the true, powerful stories behind the iconic monuments and museums of Washington, D.C. with you and your family.
Just imagine experiencing an entire museum dedicated to the Bible. Everything's planned out, so all you have to do is register.
And you can do that right now at theintentionallife.com/Washington. That's theintentionallife.com/Washington. Once you're registered, the only thing left to do is get all excited about vacationing together as we experience Washington, D.C., October 10th through 16th.
Welcome back to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. If you missed any part of today's program, stop by our archives page. Go to theintentionallife.com and click on the archives button. That's theintentionallife.com. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Randy?
Thank you, Kurt, and welcome back to the Intentional Living Center, where we're all about motivation, motivating you first to really think, understand, learn that intentional living can make a difference. There's no reason to stay stuck in your life with procrastination and defeat. God has better things in store for your life as you choose to be intentional. Secondly, to equip you, to give you the tools necessary to think differently, to respond to your emotions differently, and to behave differently in the everyday life. And then third is to really come alongside in the coaching, mentoring process. That's why we're here. That's what intentional living is all about. So we talk about parenting today and raising a child, not to be a trophy child, but a child that grows up to be mature and responsible. That's why we create a resource like Raising a Responsible Adult. What are the strategies for doing that? That's why we have that in our ministry store. That's why we get that out to thousands of people around the country, because we believe strongly in this message of living intentionally in Christ and the difference it can make in your life.
My 9-year-old son is living intentionally. I listen to your program every day on the way home from school, and my kids are in the car. This morning, my 11-year-old daughter was wanting a piece of gum, and I wouldn't give her some. And so her little brother gave her a piece of gum, and I said, "Drew, did you give her a piece of gum?" And he said, "Yes, I'm living intentionally."
Some intentional things that I have done as a parent: start out my morning, whenever we drive to school, we all say a prayer, and we make sure that we pray for the teachers who are probably exhausted this week. So those are things I'm trying to do intentionally to make their day better at school.
My daughter and I have entered the teen years, and rather than going into a mother's rant, lovingly, with the right intention that it doesn't too many words, and I could sense the tune out. Finally, I just said, "Lord, what is the better way?" And it was a phrase, fewer words. Say what you need to say, and then be done. And the Holy Spirit will finish the job and have that conversation with my daughter.
Boy, that's great. Hey, you know, when we share these examples that come in by the dozens of people choosing to live intentionally, we want to share them with you because I think they sort of illustrate or demonstrate what this living intentionally is all about. It's not some mystical decision. It's just a follower of Christ that says, "I want to live my life in a way that honors Him, brings Him glory," and then doing it. And you hear how upbeat folks are when we choose to live intentionally. You know, we love hearing from you. You hear us talk about our storyline. Not only do we get comments, but we love hearing your questions as well. As you ask questions, we try to answer them here on the air. You can leave yours at 888-888-1717, similar to this question.
Hello, my name is Tony, and I was calling for my daughter because she's always lying to us, and she's only 7 years old. And we send her to clean her room, and she goes to her room, but she doesn't clean her room. And I just wondering how we can do it to get her to listen to us better.
Well, Tony, listen, you know, lying, we know, is part of our sinful nature. If you're a parent at all for any length of time, you know that kids aren't born perfect. I mean, we all have a little sinful nature in us, even little kids. And I would ask the question, why do adults lie? We lie because we don't want to get caught, because we want to get out of trouble, because it's an easier way to, we think, to get through our lives. And so we don't tolerate lying in our homes. We just set a standard, an expectation that our kids will tell the truth. And when they don't tell the truth, we don't get all over their case. We just hold them accountable for lying, meaning that they don't get some of the privileges or the trust that they would like. And when you do that, I think that's part of being intentional. All right, let's try one more. Let's do one more question from the comment line.
Yes, Dr. Randy, I have been sending little encouraging notes to my son, who is recovering from alcohol. He's also living with a young lady that he met at church. And I have been advised by my Celebrate Recovery Church not to send him the encouraging verses and words anymore. I can ask how his son is, but, and I just wonder what you thought of that. And, you know, I don't want to be codependent, but I do want to encourage him, you know, like, you know, I'm proud of him, and then there's verses that I've sent to him and so forth. And I would really love to have your view on that. Thank you, and God bless you. Bye-bye.
Well, it's terrific, Mom, that your son is dealing with his alcoholism, but if he's met somebody at church and he's living with her, I don't quite understand where that's, you know, where that's coming from, if that implies that they're living together as a couple outside of marriage. And obviously we want to encourage our kids, but are we really proud when their behavior is such that it doesn't represent the values of our home? I think I don't want to crosswise with what your counsel has been there in your group, other than to put my perspective on this. I think that our children need our encouragement. They need words that encourage them, that we're proud of them, when their behavior is in line with the direction that we know God intends for their life. But we don't just give kids words of praise when their behavior doesn't justify it. Frankly, I think that's the kind of thing that gets kids into trouble when they're younger. We're praising them when they shouldn't be praised. We're giving them trophies when they don't deserve trophies. And we're giving them pats on the back when, frankly, they need to have encouragement to be more intentional in their own life as followers of Christ. So do you pray for your son? Yes. Do you send him notes? You know, I'd want to send notes to my son and encouraging him. But at the same time, if you're in a program, then you need to maybe really understand fully why that's healthy or not healthy from that perspective. And I'll leave it there. How does that sound? As I started to pray and read scripture and look at different things and consider how we could be intentional in the area of our life, I realized that the biggest problem that we face with this whole thing of being intentional is ourself. Our biggest enemy is ourself.
Boy, is that true. That's an excerpt from this month's teaching. It's a two-part series this month and then in the month of June on the problem of self and the solution to self and how to be intentional as I unpack what the scripture teaches and the practical application of how we live every day. And I want to say to members, watch for it. It'll be coming your way very soon. And we want to get you in on it. If you're not a member, come and join us, not just to receive the teaching, which I think is a value add. We do this because we love you and want to encourage you and walk with you in your journey, but you're helping reach other people. You know, I just came from a conference a few weeks ago, and we saw 70% of those people stand and make a one thing commitment for their marriage. Hundreds and hundreds. Maybe you're one who stood at that conference. We've had nearly 35,000 people over the last few years stand at conferences and make a one thing commitment for their marriage and their family and their own faith. And you're helping make that message available to get out to people here and around the world. Thank you for doing that. Come and join us. I got a new member kit with two of our best-selling books, The Power of One Thing and Star for Affection. And your ongoing support will get you the teaching every month, including the one I just mentioned. Just go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, and come and join us, okay? Tomorrow, we're going to talk about patience with family. If you struggle with that, we'll help you. Come and join us tomorrow.